From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you are. On this planet comprised of 25 time zones, each and every one covered by Z's program, Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. You know what tonight is, right? No pesky guests, get in the way. It's just the two of us, right? Okay, so the rules of the road here are simple, and they are no bad language, and one call per show. And that's as far as our rules go. Now, there are any number of things for me to talk to you about before we get underway. But I will, I'll give you the numbers here in a minute, what I call the talk. I have a pretty big announcement to make. Could I have a drum roll, please? No? All right, here's the deal, folks. Our cute little podcast is going to grow again. It's really not a podcast anyway. It's beginning, we're starting to be a network. So it is with immense pleasure, some trepidation, and an extreme amount of excitement that I would like to add that beginning Monday, the legendary KABC. I mean, just saying that gives me a little tickle down the spine. KABC, baby. Drew Hayes, thank you, at KABC. We've been there before, actually, in another incarnation, another life. So it's going to be great to be back. But yes, we are adding KABC on Monday night. So I guess I'll have to set up a little straighter or something. All right? Okay, what are we going to do tonight? I don't know. I don't have any ideas. We're going to do open lines, which means anything goes. Now, the two rules in mind, and of course the two-drink maximum, not minimum, maximum, is in place. If you want to call, a drink or two, and that's it. So I guess that is our third rule for Friday night open lines. Here's what I have in mind. We're going to do Back to the Future day was Wednesday. But I thought, that's so perfect. We're going to do it instead Friday night. And they actually named it Back to the Future Day because, a lot of the things depicted in that movie, not all, but a lot, came true. And they were looking at 30 years in the future. So I thought it'd be cute to do that tonight with you. I want you to sort of close your eyes and imagine 30 years in the future. Look at your iPhone or, if you must, your Android. People detect a bias there. Tell me what you think it's going to look like in 30 years. What will our airplanes look like in 30 years? What will our transportation look like in 30 years? What will our churches look like in 30 years? Any of it, and all of it. What will our computers look like? I mean, I'm pretty proud of my computers, three actually, but a couple of nice-looking HP laptops. They serve well. But in 30 years, what are they going to be? Hard to imagine, right? So the special line that we have on Friday nights tonight is dedicated to your vision of 30 years from now. and it will be duly recorded, whether I'm here or not, and preserved, and 30 years from now, some fool will drag it out and go ding, 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 or bong, bong, bong. Still can't believe it, KABC on Monday. You know, that's like starting at the other side of the domino pile and setting them going. You know, from the top down. Incredible. I didn't want to tell you until I was, you know, really sure. Not just L.A., mind you. But L.A. radio is defined by the call letters K-A-B-C. Anyway, let's move on. There is a horrid, horrid hurricane that is coming ashore now, Hurricane Patricia. And she's doing no favors as she comes ashore. Category 5, Cat 5. Story in itself, we'll get to that. High seas, surging seas, cyclonic winds. It's horrible. They clocked winds at 235 miles an hour, you know, gusts. Patricia came from tropical storm to record beater in 30 hours flat, kind of like a jet-fueled sports car, because this storm had just the right stuff, if you will. Plenty of warm water, of course. That's energy, right? What meteorologists call explosive intensification. The air was a lot moistier than usual, adding more fuel. Same time, upper-level crosswinds called shear that normally restrain a hurricane from strengthening, well, they were missing for much of Thursday, and so Thursday, Patricia decided to get angry, and off she went. So good luck down there. If you have relatives in Mexico, pray for them. This is a big storm. Not big in a geographic sense. Big in winds and damage. Compounding the nation's severe shortage of execution drugs, gosh, I know I worry about that every day, federal authorities have confiscated shipments of lethal injection chemicals that were on their way to Arizona and Texas from abroad, saying such imports are illegal. Can I hear a cheer in the cell? Maybe you shouldn't put your money under a mattress, it seems, after all. The stock market is now black again. It was a bruising, bruising bit for the stock market, but it has come back. I guess it has kind of shrugged off China. I don't know. And by the way, I'm going to give out the number for our special line tonight in a moment, but you can really respond on any line if you want to. I understand a lot of people are going to have, you know, something to say about this, and perhaps what I'm about to do as well. Scientists now have begun pointing a cluster of radio dishes at a mysterious star that some astronomers, as you know, believe could harbor an alien megastructure. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence focused the Allen Telescope Array, all of them, located in Northern California, on star KIC 8462852 on Friday. Seth Shostak told everybody to drop whatever they were doing and do nothing but listen. This could be it. And it brings up another question that I want to ask you about tonight and talk to you a little bit about. And that is, this is arguably, I think, the most exciting development in my lifetime. If it comes true, it's going to be the biggest story, as Michio said, in 500 years, right? 500 years. That would be a big story. I don't know where he came up with that. Anybody know what happened 500 years ago that would be greater than the discovery of an alien race? Anyway, I was wondering about all this, and if it may well turn out to be nothing. You never know. If it did turn out to be nothing, Would you be happy or would you be sad? I think it's as interesting to ask about the negative as the positive, if you want to think of it as a positive. And, you know, there's a lot of argument there. I think the fear is, frankly, I really do, religiously based for the most part. I mean, if we met an alien race, perhaps a million years ahead of us, after we figured out how to talk to them, or if they even talk, what would they, I mean, think about them, I'll call it them. What if they became evolved, prospered, thrived, but worshipped another god? Or perhaps worse yet, none at all. What if they never even conceived of the idea of religion? Well, then we'd need to get to light speed quickly, right? So that all of the churches could begin sending representatives to knock on the little alien doors up there and tell them all about what they need to believe in. But if in fact, as I said, if this alien race became evolved, prospered, thriving, and they either worshipped another or none at all, what would this say? And I think that's where the fear is coming from. I don't know that for sure. I'm not a particularly religious guy. I kind of believe in God. I kind of hope in God. I really hope. At my age, you have to be very hopeful about these things, right? So I'm hopeful, but I don't know. And if we did connect with another alien race and they just didn't even sort of register the concept of religion, this would be very, very upsetting for a lot of people. Why? Well, because as we all know or have been told, there is only one God, right? So if there's only one God, then he'd have to be of service, well, even 1,500 light years away. And if he wasn't, and if they'd never heard of him, if his son never visited, I think that would threaten a lot of people. Okay, one more thing, and then we'll do a break, and then we'll go to open lines. It's just the two of us for whatever you want to do. I do want to know about 30 years from now, though. So two more things to do. One is the Halloween show. There's a great brouhaha going on about what to call it. The main contender right now seems to be Midnight in the Graveyard. And, you know, that's pretty good. Midnight in the Graveyard. I like it. Now, if I was doing a remote from a graveyard, it might be more appropriate. But I don't think I'd do that, though. Vic, here comes the value of the wormhole. Vic has wormholed me a name that I think I like better. It's so simple and so appropriate. Vic says, why not just call it Dead Air? Dead Air. And I don't know. Little tingle went down my spine, just like with KBC, when I heard Dead Air. Tonight we do Dead Air. What do you think? Dead Air. Is that a good one or a bad one? Anyway, you vote, all right? All of you out there, you tell me whether you like Midnight in the Desert or whether you like Dead Air. I'm leaning toward that kind of Dead Air. Open lines, we'll talk about it in a moment. This is Midnight in the Desert. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back.
outside in the desert doesn't screen calls. We trust you, but remember, the NSA...
Wait a minute. That one can't do that to me. No way. One more time.
Midnight in the desert doesn't screen calls. We trust you, but remember, the NSA... Well, you know, to call the show, please dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
My favorite. It can't skip. Hi, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and away we go. Here comes the talk. Here are my phone numbers. My public number, national, is but one. It is Eric. You know, I'm starting to hear weird. Did you hear that? What am I hearing? I swear something's going on. I wasn't going to mention it, but as we went to break, I heard a strange-sounding thing that it almost sounded like Midnight in the Desert to me. And now I'm hearing other stuff. It's going to creep me out. Earlier tonight, I was talking to my producer, and, you know, so much has happened here, right? Internet glitches, weird stuff has been happening to us in the network. And, of course, let's not forget the shots ringing out the other night, right? So I was talking to my producer, Heather, earlier, and we were contemplating on what could be coming next. And so I closed my eyes, and I envisioned this raggedy at least two football fields wide piece of rock tumbling through space at about 45,000 miles an hour, headed straight for Pahrump and probably my studio. You know, somebody will look up and see it burning its way into the atmosphere, and kaboom, you know, right here. I mean, what else can happen after all, right? All right, where was I? The talk. All right, so you've got my public number, then there is Skype. If you have an Apple product or an Android product, either way, you can download Skype in a jiffy. It's free. Free is good, right? Put it on your phone or your pad or whatever and become familiar with it. You can do it. And when you are, add us. Don't go to the dialing part, as so many people have done. That won't work. Add us as a contact. If you're in North America, add MITD51, as in Midnight in the Desert, right? MITD51. If you're out in the rest of the world, it's MITD55. MITD55. And then we'll appear on your contact list, and you can call us at will. All that said, let us begin outside the country somewhere with Mark. I think in Great Britain, right?
No, hi, Art. I'm in Switzerland.
Switzerland. No, that's right. Switzerland. Okay, good morning.
A couple of things. Dead Air is a great name. As a fellow radio host, I definitely want to support Dead Air. It's
okay, you know, it may not, Mark, it may not, Mark, resonate with the general public, but if you're a radio guy, Dead Air has more than a ring to it. It sends a chill down your spine, right?
Yes. A couple of things, Art. I'd like to recommend, for if you do open lines next week, a special line for hubrids. Maybe there's a hubrid gone rogue that would be willing to speak to us.
Oh, you can be sure of it, Mark. There are probably legions of hubrids out there just probably dying to call in.
Great. And about 30 years from now, I think there'll be a 50-kilometer no-man's zone along any land bordering with the northern Pacific Ocean due to Fukushima.
30 years from now, Mark, do you think that Switzerland will still be a neutral country?
Well, you know, they did join the United Nations in 2001. So the joke I tell people is that finally in the 20th century.
I'm sorry.
Switzerland probably will exist because the world needs a Switzerland. The world needs an exception country.
A place where their money's safe is what you mean.
yes, and also a place that is not part of the EU or other large trade organizations.
Yeah, with reference to their joining the UN, I said the joke's on them.
Ha ha ha. Very good. Art, I wish you safety and all good things, and I hope weeks to come are much calmer than the one you've experienced.
I'm telling you, brother, the rock is out there tumbling away at about 45,000 miles an hour.
Yep.
So, people.
I wish you well, Art.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. All the way from Switzerland. Well, so there you have it. I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure that rock's out there tumbling toward me about now. Many of you will view it only as a sort of red-orange glow as it streaks across whatever territory it's got to get to crash into my studio. All right, so let's go to this line. Silverdale, Washington, maybe? That's only a guess. Yes?
Oh, Art.
Hi.
I wanted to... I like Veiled in the Desert. And I'm thinking that, yeah.
That has a kind of a Muslim-like sound.
Yeah, you know it does. That may not work right now. But, you know, I was going to say in 30 years, I think they're going to have built that tower that they're talking about, the elevator. And,
elevator
to
space, yes.
Yes, but I think there's going to be 6 countries, including private investors, involved in it, so that it'll be protected. You know, so there won't be the issue of sabotage or anything.
Let's just call it Trump Tower, and he'll pay for it, like the Mexicans have to. Yeah.
he'll have the Mexicans pay for the lower half. You know, Art, I wanted to say about your situation out there, because you got that large piece of land at night. I had 2 confrontations here with some Rottweilers that came on my land at night. And I was outside, and I thought they were small bear. I thought they were bear cubs. They were about 85, 90 pounders, 2 males, and I could only see their glowing eyes at night. They Rottweilers are really funny.
You didn't hurt them, did you?
No. I had to have the Humane Society come pick them up, but they were trained to be very vicious. But I talked to a guy that used another three of them for other dogs. They were all Rottweilers, and he used 3 females for security with himself. And he said they never stay alongside him when he patrols in the dark. He said they surround the buildings and keep him in sight. And when he has a confrontation with somebody, the dogs come up secretively and stand around the person. Wow. And the person doesn't even know they're there until there's some kind of physical confrontation, and they just unload on the person. So they're very good about patrolling. They don't bark a lot.
Okay, you've never been in radio, right?
Never, no.
Good. So what do you think of dead air?
I love that.
You do?
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Okay, well, that's my first sample. Now let me try some of the other stuff for you. How about our world, any part of it you want to think about in 30 years?
I'd like to think of the oceans.
You mean us still being there?
Oh, yes. The health of the oceans, I think, will eventually recover. But within 30 years, I think we're going to have explored and make much more use of the oceans. But I think we'll understand them a lot more.
Well, you know, probably we have a better chance of meeting aliens under the ocean than we do in space.
That's very likely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen.
Why are we seeing so many lights under the ocean for many years? People have been reporting that all over the world. You know,
because they have to be able to see where they're going.
That might be it too.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Art.
See you later. It is true, though. We are more likely to meet them under the ocean, right? Oh, I know what I forgot. I forgot the special lines. If you would like to predict for 30 years in the future, the number to call, are you ready? Area code 575-208-7787. And when you call that number, do you know where you're being routed? That number is in Roswell, New Mexico. That's all I'll say. It's in Roswell, New Mexico. So when you come through that line, know where you're going. And if you're a first-time caller to the show, the number is area code 775-285-5800. You know, I thought I was done with east of the Rockies, west of the Rockies, on the Rockies, actually, all those different lines. But and I started out that way with one line. But then I thought, nah, I need a special line, of course, because I do this every Friday. And then I thought, well, nah, what the hell. First-time caller line, why not? So now I don't have any lines left. One, two, three, four, five, six lines, and they're all going strong. Hi there. You're on the air. On Skype.
Me?
You. Somebody named Garrett, actually. Garrett.
I'm 8.
You're 8? You're the same age as my daughter. So you're in the third grade. No one takes your baby. And if you get hurt, by the little things I say, I can put that smile back on your face.
Hi, I'm Asia Bell, and it's very late, so I'm sleeping now. But you're awake, so call my daddy because he's awake too. The number is 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
That's my daughter, and she may be running this show by 30 years from now. Who knows? Let us go back, shall we, to what I actually did was called blowing a break completely. Didn't even see the bottom of the hour coming. I was busy talking. What we do on here, it's a talk show, right? And I had a particularly engaging caller who had all of my attention. And Garrett, you're back on the air again, and you are how old?
8.
You're 8 years old. And so that puts you, Garrett, in about the third grade, I bet, huh?
Yeah. Didn't I mention I was homeschooled?
Well, if you weren't homeschooled, that would put you in the third grade. How about that?
I'm already in the third grade, but I'm trying to get up to, you could say, fifth grade.
Fifth grade. In other words, you're homeschool accelerated.
Yeah, I don't really do much tests, but I do. Kind of question. You live in Nevada, right?
I do.
So do I.
Where in Nevada?
The upper area.
The upper area.
Upper corner.
The area that all our tax dollars go to pay for. Yes, we're familiar with it. Garrett, what is your favorite computer game?
Let's say Minecraft. You get to build.
That's things. My daughter's favorite game as well. She spends.
It's on my phone.
She spends absolutely endless hours playing with Minecraft. I'll tell you what. Make you a deal. If you can get hold of us privately, Garrett, we will give you my daughter's special Minecraft password, and maybe the two of you can play online.
Oh, bad news is
You're not hooked up.
My computer's broken.
It's broken?
Yeah, I had an incident when my grandparents were here, although my
what do you call an incident?
Dropping it.
You dropped your computer?
Lucky me, it still kind of works. Except the thing that you put a disc in for a movie won't come out.
Yeah, kind of like my computer. They have their problems. Well, Garrett, it has been a pleasure having you call. I tell people, you know, the people listen from 8 to 80, and you just proved it. Okay, take care, buddy.
See you.
See you later, Minecraft. Yep. Minecraft has got to be the probably premier game that somebody at 8 goes for. My daughter spends enormous amount of time, just an enormous amount of time playing Minecraft. It's a very interesting game that allows you to assemble things, castles and you name it. You can make it, airplanes, it doesn't matter. Okay, onward. Let's go back to the phones, and I probably think Oakland. Oakland?
Yes.
There you are. Hello.
Dave in Indianapolis, do you hear me?
Indianapolis?
Yes, uh-huh. I'm not sure where you got Oakland, but I'm Dave.
It just goes to show you that caller ID is far from perfect.
Oh, okay. I kind of wondered how you knew everybody's name and location, but anyway, I called about a couple of things. First of all, I wanted to just maybe guess that the 500 years ago thing had to be the discovery of the New World by the Europeans. So, you know, that would be about 500 years ago.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know if that really competes with finding aliens.
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a greater thing or equal to that.
Well, Dr. Michio Kaku is the one who said that, a theoretical physicist. He said it would be the biggest discovery and biggest story in 500 years.
Yeah. Well, maybe about 100 years ago, that was when they figured out that we are just one galaxy out of many billions. They used to believe those were all stars out there, and then they, about 100 years ago, figured out it was galaxies. But that's not what I call it. First of all, I just wanted to tell you how glad I was to hear that you would welcome good evidence for the existence of God. I kind of find very few truly inquisitive agnostics, and that sounds like what you are, and I want to congratulate you for...
Really? I didn't think there were congratulations for that. I am an inquisitive agnostic. That's a fair description. I have hopes. You know, that's not the same as having faith. I have hopes. High hopes.
Absolutely. And faith is something that, you know, all of us, we don't know with certainty. Even the strongest believer has to admit that it's not a certainty.
All right, all right. You're a good test case then, sir. You're a good test case. Would you say you have faith?
Yes.
Okay. All right, all right. Wait. If we discovered an alien race and we began a dialogue with them and we found out, well, they probably are a million years ahead of us, but, you know, they too came from probably, you know, a mud puddle and a lightning strike, whatever. Anyway, they evolved, they prospered, they thrived, but they don't know anything about God. How would that strike you?
It would probably destroy my faith in the God of the Bible, especially if here's how we created you guys. We know how life is formed from non-life, and here's how we did it. Something like that. That would destroy my faith. But I would ask you the other question.
Okay.
I was on with Seth Shostak, and we talked about this a little bit. At some point, absence of evidence is evidence of absence.
Yeah.
At least likely evidence of absence.
I have to agree with that, yes.
Okay, thank you. And in 50 years... they've had absence of evidence. I would just challenge you, Art, before your time on Earth is done, you should make a call on whether it really should be considered to be evidence of absence.
Brother, if I could have made that call, brother, I would have made it already. So thank you. It's a good question. It really is. And I would love to be able to make that call, but I can't any more than, well, I mean, you can. You have faith. But I can't make that call. I'm hopeful. The only way I can put it is I am hopeful. I hope there is a God. And if there isn't, I sure hope there isn't a devil. Right? That's kind of in a song somewhere, isn't it? Hello there. On our first-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is Frank from Tennessee. I want to tell you this story right here. I was going to send you an email for your whatever you want to call it, dead air, spooky matter, whatever you, what you want to call it this year.
All right, back away just a tiny bit from the phone. You're blasting away.
Can you hear me good now?
Better, yes. Thank you.
Yes, okay. I have a story about a stick-riding witch there from the late 90s, and I thought you might, that might interest you there.
Okay.
A little background first. I played college football in the South and at that time, and I was out of state there where I played football at.
Yes.
And a teammate of mine invited me and another player who was out of state to his parents' house on a Sunday for some pizza and to watch some NFL games. And, the guy there from that state told us that about 3 miles from his house there was a place where on the road there was a lot of weird activity happened right there.
What do you mean by weird?
That's all he said at the time. All he said was weird activity. You know, we were sort of into, haunted places at that time. We'd go around.
I heard that. You almost said satanic stuff.
No.
That almost came out.
Nah.
Anyway, weird stuff. Okay, weird.
Yeah, we're in the hardware. We decided to go there later that night. It was probably 9:30 at night, and there's very few people out on this road. It's a cold country road, 2-lane road, and we got in his SUV and we turned on that road and we parked the SUV, turned it off, and he's supposed to, you always hear this stuff, you knock on the window and you say something. I don't know what was knocked on the window. He knocked on the window like 3 times, and all of a sudden this cloud appeared in front of our right in front of the SUV. And this witch, that's the only thing I can come up with. It was the most grotesque thing you've ever seen, Art. It come down from the clouds right in front of our SUV.
You were moving at the time, right?
No. We parked.
Okay.
And he knocked the driver, which was the guy that knew the place. He knocked on done the thing. He knew all the games or whatever it was. I don't know how he done it. He knocked on the window, and this thing come down, which the only thing I can explain is that it was a woman, and
a witch.
She was the most grotesque thing. That's the only thing I can compare it to for my own personal thing. And she was riding a stick. No broom. I couldn't tell if it was a broom. It looked like a stick. Come down from the clouds in front of her SUV. Once she got on the front of the SUV, she jumped on the hood, looked in the window at us, and just like she was smelling us, breathing and smelling us. Okay, I was yelling, lock your doors, let's get out of here. I was the only one. I had a knife in my hand, but that knife would have been useless against something like this, Art. And the woman she got, she jumped off the car. We couldn't start the car, and the car wouldn't start, and she got over there at the driver's side door, tried to unlock it. She couldn't unlock it, and she tried to get to the rear passenger door and couldn't unlock it. And I was on the other side, so she walked around,
Do you believe in God, sir?
What?
Do you believe in God?
At this time there, I was not a believer in God at this time there, Art.
No, now.
I'll put it that way.
Now.
I am now, yes, sir.
All right,
yes,
now.
Sir.
You swear to God this is true.
I swear to God this is true. And you know what? You could find these, if these two people are still alive, one of them's from Florida, one of them, I'm not going to say where I went to school at because it might give away where I'm at.
It might.
And I have a job there that and this is such a crazy story. I wouldn't want to lose my job. I make pretty good money, Art. So
you excuse the pun. This story has nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, I mean I know it's a crazy story, but this woman, which I won't, we'll just go ahead and call her a witch. It's hard to, that witch. She got in my door and she's like smelled at me and.
Wait. Did you say she got to your door or in your door?
She got to my door. My door was locked, and she got to my door, right in front of my door, probably 3 feet away.
Uh-huh.
She walked over there, and she done that smelling again with her nose, smelling at me and, like, breathing hard.
And yeah.
And this woman.
And then she, how, what happened to her? Did she just vaporize?
The story keeps on. The only thing I could think to it at the time, this woman, she said she's going to, I'll clean it up. I know we're on radio. She told me she was going to have sex with me there, Lark.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what she said. I was the biggest guy there. I started right tackle.
And how old were you again? I'm sorry, at the time?
I was 19 years old at the time.
19, boy, that's an interesting age hormonally. A very interesting age. So did you give it due consideration?
No. It was way too grotesque. It was the most disgusting thing you could ever look at. I mean.
All right, I've got it.
And I don't even want a picture of her face.
Okay, so you said no.
Well, the only thing I can think to
you didn't say no.
I was a Christian. I was not a Christian at the time or nothing. The only thing I could think of.
All right, sir. Really,
I read a little bit.
Our time is up. If you have a punchline here, and if you're kidding, now's the time to say it.
Well, I asked for protection through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ around the car, and she never could penetrate it. We got away,
or you.
and the car started again after that. She got done within 2 feet.
Yeah.
And we was driving, the car started, and she followed us with her stick for like a mile down the road and finally just disappeared in the cloud.
Oh, my God. All right. Thank you very much for the call. And I really, during this last newscast, just prior to the, or following the break that I blew, I heard about this asteroid hurtling toward Earth. Now, it's not going to hit Earth, so rest easy, but it's hurtling this way, and the way things are going, I'm sure something will bump into it, alter its trajectory just a little bit, and she's coming straight for Pahrump. I just know it. Hi there, Sean on Skype. You're on the air. Hello? Sean. Are you there? Last chance.
Hello?
Sean, my goodness, guy, you're calling a radio program, so you got to be ready.
Yes, sir. I'm a little nervous.
A little nervous?
Yeah, I'm with my brother, Sean. Beside me, my name's Ryan.
Ryan, okay.
Yeah, I'm calling in Calgary, Alberta.
Okay, you're kind of in and out on us a little bit there. I'm not sure what's going on.
Is that better?
No, that wasn't better at all. That was like... Something blew up in my ear when you did that. What? Just get close to the mic and fire away.
I'm getting pretty close to my mic. Is that better?
No, it's kind of not. But anyway, go ahead. What's up?
Okay, well, it was either last week or the other week. A caller called in to ask you about how many people listened into your program.
Oh, yes.
And you denied any knowledge about you denied knowing the actual numbers, and I just wanted to let you know that, like, I'm one of the skeptics out there who doesn't believe you.
Doesn't believe me about not knowing the numbers?
Yeah. I mean, you're pretty familiar with radio.
Dude, I told him, and I'm going to tell you, it's complicated. You know, like on Facebook with your relationship, it's complicated. <Yeah. laughs> It's really complicated. There are radio stations out there. By the way, the next one will be KABC in Los Angeles. Anyway, it is really, honestly, it's complicated because we've got people that listen live, of course, like yourself right now, to the stream. Then we've got radio stations out there, like 40 or 50 now, whatever it is, and more coming all the time. And we have no way of knowing, short of when they do surveys, of what their listening audience is. I couldn't give you a number. I wouldn't lie to you.
So it's a number that you want to know too, though, right?
Of course I want to know.
Okay. So if you did have it, you would tell us.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know, I guess.
Okay. It's easier when you do a show like this or any show to tell the truth. I'm Art Bell, and this is Midnight in the Desert. God, I love dead air. What do you think?
Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find.
at 12. And Midnight in the Desert is pounding packets your way on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, please direct your finger digits to dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
K-A-B-C on Monday. Ooh, I'm so ready to rock. Hey, everybody. This is Midnight in the Desert, and you're welcome to join us. We have a multitude of topics going on. Don't forget our big question is what you're going to think, you know, what you think the world's going to look like in 30 years. And if you have an answer to that question, a pretty good one, I want you to think about it before you call. The number to call is area code 575-208-7787. And on that line, you are on the air.
Hi, Art. Hello. I'm so honored.
Well, I'm honored, too.
This is Ricardo. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. And and I've been listening to you since the 90s.
All right. We're going to start a new policy, Ricardo, with, if possible, giving credit to the affiliate you're listening to. And I know in your case, it's got to be the Monster KXL.
Yeah, I have listened to you on there, but I'm listening on the computer.
Thanks for ruining it, Ricardo. Jeez.
Well, the computer brought you back. I mean, Dark Matter Network deserves some props.
Yeah, baby. You've got it. All right. Well, anyway, Ricardo, I want you to look 30 years.
Up through the internet to the radio again.
Yeah. 30 years.
30 years. Yeah. It's going to be a different world for sure. And I see, I think the United States is going to go the way of the Soviet Union. And collapse as a union.
Wait a minute. Let's clarify what you're saying. You don't think we're going to become communists, do you?
No. No. I'm talking purely, politically, like power structure. Not. No.
Okay. So you're talking more about an economic collapse, right?
Right. The same thing that the way that we won the Cold War was we got them to outspend to the point that they couldn't. Sustain themselves and mm-hmm. as a large entity.
Okay, well, you know what? We're well on the way to doing that right now, so not such a hard prediction. I mean, look at the spending we're doing. My God, it'll never withstand another 30 years at this rate.
Absolutely, and I think that it'll be kind of similar in that while that's going on, I'm also noticing that states are starting to say, hey, if we want to do something, we're just going to pass a law and say we're going to do it. I mean, the marijuana legalization on the left coast is a good example, but I think there are other examples. And the feds are kind of so far anyway going, well, we're too busy to worry about that.
That's right. You've got to ask yourself, in 30 years, if California were allowed to go its own way, what California would be like in 30 years?
Exactly. And then I see the red state, blue state thing just getting bigger and bigger, and the cultural divides. I mean, up here in the Northwest, I mean, the Eastern Washington and Western Washington are like two different planets. And I just see a lot of fracturing. And with the way our economy is going, we're going to have a higher and higher corporate feudalism where, what company you belong to will be more important for a lot of people than what country they supposedly live in.
Or church they go to.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people won't be in companies because robots will be replacing all of us. So a lot of people will be in tribes of some sort, gangs and so whatever. But
I don't suppose you've seen the new TV program called Humans, have you? About essentially robots.
No, I didn't know there was one. I'll look into that. Okay. I don't have regular TV.
All right.
But the other thing that I think is that, though, at the same time, the Moore's Law is not going to go away completely, though. People are starting to say we've reached the end of it. I don't think we've reached the end of it. And I think that within 30 years there will be, microchip computers that can be implanted in your brains, and everyone will be using those instead of cell phones. And so everyone will be online all the time.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. I don't like the sound of that. I don't want a computer implanted in my brain. For one thing, it could easily take over. And in my case, very easily, perhaps. And then, what would I be? No, I asked about the show Humans. I don't know if any of you have seen it. but they have one particularly cute robot. The rest of them are, but one of them is really something. Let's go to John. John, hello on Skype.
Hello, Art. This is my second phone call to you. I called the first time when the young woman from the Satanic Church was on, and that was very interesting.
Oh, yes, the High Priestess, as it were, of the Satanic Church. That was quite a program, actually.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I was impressed with her elucidation of the entire Satanic experience.
Yeah, she was charming.
She was very interesting. In 30 years, I've been hearing all of these predictions about the end coming, Jade Helm, and all this stuff bombarded with it over the summer. And I keep coming back to this old poem, and I don't know who wrote the poem, but it just keeps running through my head.
Well, before you get to that, Jade Helm, sir, is not the end. It is, but only the beginning.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you straightened. Thank you for that, Art. I appreciate it. You got me straightened out on that now. What I was going to say about the poem is it refrains many times by saying, this is the way the world ends. And then at the end of it, it says, not with a bang, but with a whimper. And I'm not, I don't know that the world is going to be ending. The earth isn't, that's for sure. As far as humans go, that's up to us, man.
You're right about that. The world will not end, but our ability to continue to be sustained upon it may well. And when you think about it really hard, what's the diff, right? Let's go all the way across the Pacific Ocean to the land of the rising sun, Japan, and Michelle. Hello. Michelle. Oh, Michelle's here. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
So if you hear too much noise, just let me know and I'll cut it short.
Where are you again that you have so much noise?
I'm outside a train station waiting for my friend.
I'd love to hear a Japanese train come in. No problem.
Okay. Well, you might get the chance. I actually called you a little bit ago and then had to hang up because my train came in. So.
I see. Well, I'm still waiting for my train.
One day, Art.
Yes, ma'am.
So, the other night when, first of all, I got to say, Dead Air, fantastic. Please use it.
You really like it?
I love it.
And you're not a certified radio person, right?
Radio joke. It's just, it's short. And it really just, you don't forget it.
Dead Air. I love it.
And you can say it really well. That's the other thing, too.
That's right. Dead
Air. So, the other night, I just got a chance to listen to when I... the Dr. Forstchen show.
Oh, yeah.
The other night, and I realized that I forgot to say something while I was on there with him.
And that
if
was?
If you get a chance to have him on again.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
You got to ask him about the story behind his signed Luke Skywalker picture. He's got a photo of Luke Skywalker hanging up in his office.
Autographed?
Signed by Mark Hamill.
Seriously?
And it's a really funny story.
You are aware, right, that Luke is not in the trailers for the new...
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah. Mysteriously missing.
I'm kind of wondering if he's going to be a bad guy this time.
You know, they're going to do some big twisting. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, who knows. But, it's a really funny story as to how he got that photo. And I'd tell it myself, but I'm not sure if I could do it justice.
All right, Michelle, what do you think the world's going to look like in 30 years?
I'm not really sure exactly what it's going to look like, but my hope is that whether it be from this megastructure or just needs and resources, that I hope that we've gotten back into space. We haven't just completely ditched that and gone down the same road for the next 30 years.
Yeah, and I hope we're not all speaking ISIS.
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. Just completely and totally apologetic towards the Islam, and I understand why, but at the same time, there's so much that can't completely be ignored. I'm not really sure, you know, I'm a very love and peace kind of person, and I really try to get along with everyone. I practice it every day at my school and, you know, people that I meet here in a foreign country, but sometimes there are some people who just don't want to listen. And what can you do to them? What can you do with them?
herd them together and put them in a camp. Call it Jade Helm. All right, I got.
Amusingly enough, a pastor back home said that about homosexuals. Right before I left, he said that they needed to herd all the homosexuals up and put them in a gay camp and take care of them.
Yes, yeah, so you really can never overestimate or underestimate, I guess, really the wicked nature of man.
Yeah, and the sad part was that he was a preacher, you know. So, Christian preacher. That's real Christianity for you, man.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. Anyway,
thank you.
Keep on keeping on.
That's not a train, is it?
No, that's the signal across the street.
Actually, it would have been really cool to hear probably a high-speed Japanese train come in, yeah.
Actually, this stop does have a Shinkansen, but I haven't heard one come through. I've tried to stand kind of away from one so that you didn't get too much noise.
Would have been cool.
Well, next time I'll try and get you one.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. That's Michelle in Tokyo, actually. And here's somebody who calls himself Vidiot. Seriously?
Yeah, can you hear me?
No, I hear you.
Oh, great. It's good to be talking to you. I've been a listener for a long time.
Well, good, I guess, even though we've been here since, well, July, this incarnation.
Yeah, I'm talking about the old show.
Ah, the old show.
Yeah.
Right, I think we're beginning to get their attention over there.
I wanted to talk about 30 years in the future.
Okay, good, forward thinking.
Yeah, I the last caller that talked about corporate feudalism, I never heard that term, and that kind of rang with me. I think that's where we're headed, is that the future is about more corporations than government, and the power that we have in our society is shifting. And, you know, I don't see a good future for the United States. I think that...
So maybe in 30 years the Rose Garden will be outside Apple.
Well, that's another thing. Tech companies, they think they're going to solve all our problems, and they're not. We're going to solve all our problems. And that's how I think the rest of us need to view it, is if we want to change the outcome in 30 years from what it is now, we need to pull together and start to unify and not fractionalize like we are. So, you know, we have a chance to change the future right now and make 30 years from now a lot better than it is right now.
That's good, clear thinking. Any idea of the tech changes you can imagine in 30?
Well, I'm actually a computer programmer. I code at night, listen to you. So I'm writing a video game right now.
You are.
I see technology as just a tool, like a shovel or a pair of gloves, that, you know, when you apply it, it can be very effective and change our lives.
All right.
But not in the way you think. You know, most of what we do in the technical world is just about information. It's not about, you know, making cars or building houses or taking care of the sick or the elderly. It's just about information or about entertainment. And so technology has its place, but it's not the God that's going to save us all.
There you have it. Well said, actually. Thank you very, very much for the call. Vidiot, what a name. For a technological guy, I could tell you were not using a headset mic, which would have sounded way, way better. Going to the phones, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is John in Danville, Virginia.
Danville, Virginia. How you doing, John?
Sure, listening. I'm doing great. Listening to you at 106.3 WIQ.
Say that again slowly, please. You're listening. You've not got a good cell connection, so say it again.
Listening to you on 106.3 WIQ.
All right. Thank you very much for the plug.
Just a couple quick comments. Number one, what are we going to do when the aliens land if they have a bumper sticker on a spaceship that says praying in the name of Jesus?
I think that a lot of people like myself will quit hoping and start, you know, really getting down to believing.
Couple more comments. A suggestion for a show sometimes. There's a lot of people like me out here to drive all night. pickup drivers, pizza delivery, whatever. I'll have a show sometime.
Are you, excuse me, are you in a truck?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, go ahead. The show suggestion.
Show called One More from the Road and let people call in and tell stories of the road.
One More from the Road as opposed for the road.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It's a good one. I love it.
Stories of what we've seen. And another suggestion. How about sometimes, which I know you probably won't do this, but let a regular guy co-host open lines with you.
It's a thought. It's certainly a thought. I'll tell you something off the air if you just listen for a moment. Before we did the program, I had a test night. Some of you may remember that. And I had a really nice gal on here who happens now to be, by the way, my producer, Heather Wade. And she did a fantastic job. By the way, we just killed Skype again. I'm so sorry. Here it comes back. I had Heather on with me for the test show, and people were in revolt. I mean, they just were in absolute revolt. They hated it. And I think what it is not Heather. She did a great job, and she has a spectacular voice for radio. I think it's just that people don't like change. Whatever it is, they don't like change. And they had not heard me on the radio in a very long time, and to hear me with somebody else shook them to the core. And so it's not that they did not like Heather. It is that they just didn't like change. Anyway, that's who that was, by the way. She called herself Redacted, but it's really Heather. Hello, John. You're on the air on Skype.
Hi, Art.
Hello, sir. You're not close to your mic, so I want you to find whatever you're using for a microphone and get real close to it, okay? John?
Yeah.
John, you sound like you're at the bottom of Mel's hole.
Well, sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry. John, what do you want, a computer?
Yeah.
Okay. On your computer, there's a little hole there, if it's a portable, right, where the microphone is?
Yeah.
Get real close to that and talk to me.
Oh, okay.
Look for the little hole.
Is that any better?
Oh, John, it's so much better.
Okay. Well, like I started to say, I hope you're wrong about that asteroid hitting Barum.
I do too, but I happened to listen to the newscast coming up, and they were talking about this asteroid coming in at like 50,000 miles an hour or something. God.
Yeah, I started laughing when I heard that. I said, I know he's going to catch that.
Very humorous, yeah.
But anyway, I'm hoping on the religion front.
Yes.
That the aliens get here and explain it was all a big joke when they landed the first time.
So anyway, John, if they get here and they don't know a darn thing about religion, never heard of God, what do you think that would do to people?
Well, I think people will get over it. I mean, you know, you stop and think about it. We could be a lot better off if we never fallen for this. I mean, you think of all the energy we've spent fighting each other about. You're wrong, I'm right. You're wrong, I'm right. You know,
right.
It's crazy.
It is.
Religion's like underwear. Keep yours, I'll keep mine.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. Thank you. Remember Imagine by Lennon, right? Imagine a world with no religion. Might be a better place. I know that offends a lot of people to think about, but most of our wars, well, frankly, they're about religion, right? Most of those who go to war or take up terrorism as an active hobby, they all hold out their God in front of them as they do what they're going to do, or as they push the red button that they've been holding, or as they, you get the idea, do whatever. On the first-time caller line, you have achieved the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello, are you there?
I certainly am, mostly.
Hey, Art. My name is Eric. I'm calling from North Carolina, and I wondered if you knew the information about Apophis.
About what?
Apophis, the asteroid.
Oh. Yes, I'm hearing about it. The one that's going to make the close pass?
Well, it's going to be set to make a few close passes in, I believe it's starting in the year 2024, but it should be the year 2036 when it should make the closest call. I believe in 30 years it will be kind of a moot point because I believe no matter if it hits or if it just makes a close call, which would rip off a bunch of the Earth's atmosphere, I believe we're anything that happens, well, will be to an iPhone 15 at the time. have you ever heard of the Colburn text? The Colburn Bible?
I have not. I'm sorry, no.
Okay, it is a basically a book that when you read into the history of it was really attempted to be destroyed, and a small clan of knights held on to it, and there are supposedly a few that survived, and you can now buy copies of it. But there is one part which talks about the translation of Apophis is the destroyer.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who is your cell carrier?
I'm on Sprint.
You're on Sprint. Okay, well, unfortunately, it won't work for Sprint, but that is, you know, it was a good call, but it was a bad cell connection, right? I've got some news for you. Those of you out there who would like to sound good and don't have good cell service, AT&T, they're my carrier, has just instituted something called Wi-Fi calling. It's high-definition calling. Now, here's what you can do, some of you. You might give it a try. It's really cool. You look into it. There's a little button. You go to, you know, settings on the phone. And I'm going to tell you how to do this. You go to settings on your phone. And then, of course, all the apps are listed. And you go down to phone, right? If you've got AT&T, this might work. You go down to phone and click on it, and one option for you is Wi-Fi calling. And when you turn it on, it will ask you a couple of questions and then presumably switch you over to Wi-Fi calling. Now, that means you're going to use the Internet in your house to access AT&T. I think a couple of other carriers do this as well. But the quality of the sound is astronomical. It is wonderful. So that's, of course, if you have good Internet. If your Internet is bad, you'll sound terrible. But assuming you've got good Internet, good Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi calling is about 100 times better than your average cell phone. Just a little hint for some of you out there. Let's go to... let me see. I hate to do it too quickly to somebody. But here we go. We're going to go to Skype, and Kurt, hi.
Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Hi. That was fast, huh?
Wow, my goodness. I've got to turn off my hearing you in the background.
Your device, yes.
On so fast.
I know.
Let me just turn that off. Oh, there we go.
All right.
All right. Now, hi. How are you, Mr. Bell?
Just spiffy.
Hey, I was thinking about... Okay, so if I'm in San Diego, California.
Yes.
And I'm trying to get a hold of somebody in New York, New York.
Yes.
And how long would it take for me to get there physically, but I can hear them instantly on the phone? Why wouldn't that be any different than somebody in a planet 1,500 miles away, 1,500 light years away? It takes
well,
how many?
What? No, wait a minute.
Okay.
Let's begin at the beginning. Yes. You're talking about San Diego and New York, and you're also talking about the speed of light, because
right.
That's essentially pretty close to how fast you're going.
Right.
Now, to go to somebody 1,500 light years away,
right.
At the speed of light, Well, it's the same speed you're talking now. Would take 1,500 years, yes?
Well, but
yes,
why can I speak with somebody in New York instant and it be...
Well, because of this guy named Einstein who thought about this speed of light thing. And so at the speed of light, same speed you're talking now, it would take 1,500 years for your voice to get to the megastructures.
I don't believe that. I think that we're all in the same thought process. New York people right now from Arizona were in the same thought process. Why can't...
Yeah, but sir, phone calls have nothing to do with thought processes. They have to do with a lot of things other than thought processes, frequently.
But we're all thinking at the same time.
Well, that's just confusing. So much thought going on at once. And so little action.
Well, I just think that everybody in the whole universe is...
So little productivity. Come on now, predict for me what you really think it's going to be like in 30 years.
I'm going to be president, and Madonna's going to be my first lady.
As president, what will your first action be?
Take away YouTube ads in between music. Oh, I hate that. Oh, my goodness. That'll be the first executive order. No more YouTube ads.
Well, something has to pay for the music, sir.
Oh, please. Everything's going to be free in 30 years. You don't have to pay for nothing.
Oh, now I'm going to be the one to say, oh, please, everything's going to be free in 30 years. You don't really believe that, do you?
Jesus wants everything free. Why do you have to pay for anything? The sun free, solar energy, even APS and SRP in Phoenix Electric Company found out about solar. They're trying to charge people that are putting solar panels on the roof. Going to try to charge them for free sun. It's a shame. Everything going to be free.
No, wait.
All right.
How can your electric company charge you for putting a solar panel on your roof?
They do, APS and SRP. You look up Phoenix. They're trying so hard. Everybody trying to fight them.
How can they do that?
Isn't that pitiful? Isn't that pitiful? Charging for the sun. They're trying to.
No, they can't do that.
They're trying.
They can't do that. And what are they calling it? This
I don't know.
Fee, this tax. This
you can't get free electricity. We have to get money from you. I don't know what they call it. That's what happened in Arizona right now. Damn it.
All right. Well, I'm really upset to hear it.
Well, good to talk to you, brother. I'm so glad you're back, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why we do open line nights. So, stay right where you are. Midnight in the desert. I don't know. When KBC gets a whiff of this, we may not be on Monday. We'll be back.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile because of the wild. I could see for miles and miles.
To initiate a dialogue sequence with Art Bell, please coordinate your phalanges and call 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
Well, let's pay a little attention to the wormhole. I don't do enough of that, although it suggests great things. People mishear things, I think. They really do. Let me start with... I have so many messages here. Where is the one I wanted? It was about here it is. Joy W in Santa Cruz says, Art, don't change it to dead air. No, that's lackluster. You have a theme song from Crystal. It fits your show perfectly. I love the name Midnight in the Desert. Please don't change it. Joy, I'm not going to change the name of the show to Dead Air. Besides, affiliates would hate that. Really, they would. We're talking about the Halloween show, Joy. Only one night. Halloween. Actually, the night before going into Halloween. Now, Joy, you might send me another, as soon as you're allowed, message indicating whether you like the name Dead Air for that show. Just one show, Joy, just one. And then this resonates with me. Tom in Laurel. Tom said, just saw the Martian movie and absolutely loved it. Teary-eyed throughout. I don't know about that. I wasn't teary-eyed. Anyway, he goes on, and the soundtrack reminded me of your show. They used your bumper music. And which reminded me of a comment made by another host who said they used his bumper music, and I thought, ha! And then I said, and then I answered the phone. Hello there, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
I was going to say, it sounds like the noise coming from that star. Welcome to the show, sir, wherever you are.
Chairman, Tennessee.
Okay.
Hi, Mr. Bell. What about if we meet our first aliens and he's holding a King James Bible?
And we show them the King James Bible?
No. He's standing there holding.
Oh, holding the King James Bible. Well, yeah. I mean, that would do it. I absolutely would do it. The saucer lands. The little ramp comes down. The guy comes down holding the King James Version. Sure. That would do it, all right. How likely do you really think that would be?
I don't think we're actually ever meeting the aliens myself, but that was just something that popped in my head.
Well, okay, if that popped in your head, that means you are a man of faith. And if that's the case, then I need to ask you the opposite question. If we do meet them, the unlikely scenario, I'm sure, in your head, that we do meet them, and they never heard of God or even the concept of religion, then how would that hit you?
It probably shook me pretty hard. I was raised pretty hard in religion, but I don't really practice it, but I do believe.
Okay, well, you have, thank you, proven my point absolutely in a stellar way. I think that if there is hesitation to release information about aliens, honest to goodness, folks, I'm getting kind of serious for a moment. I know it's Friday. And by the way, we for those of you new to the show, during the week we have guest after guest, very serious, very interesting guests. And Friday, I just sort of let my hair hang down, what little I have left, and we just have fun. But I think what you heard from this man and from a man earlier actually is quite serious stuff. If we were visited, if there was no sense of religion or God or anything else, it would impact a lot of people in a way that is so profound it's difficult to articulate. And so if there is hesitation to release information about aliens, and if there is heavy reflection of the Brookings study before releasing information, now you know why. It's no joke. It's serious, serious stuff. I can't pronounce his name. Quinterly? Is that Quinty? I can't pronounce it for me. Skype. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, your name.
Oh.
She hung up. Maybe it was just the fact that I said your name. I have to give my name. Oh, no. I'm hanging up. I tried, you know, I couldn't get the spelling. I couldn't pronounce it. It was only her first name, really nothing to worry about, frankly. My name, oh no, hang up. Let's try another one. Lino, I believe it is. Lino or Lino?
Yeah, you got it right the first time, Art. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you?
Man, I haven't spoken to you in over 20 years, buddy. Man, this is great.
Let's remind me. 20 years, huh?
1995, I think, was the last time I talked to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. I got a prediction whether it might come through or not. Well, you know, people have been talking about, well, they're already out there, especially in your neck of the woods. Maybe not so much, but these self-driving Google cars in California and Nevada.
Yeah, I actually saw a demo of one the other day. The driver on the freeway let go of the wheel gingerly. He still had his hand like 6 inches at the most away, but by God, that thing went down the freeway straight and narrow.
Holy smokes, wow. Anyway, my prediction is whether it comes through or not, maybe not necessarily in 30 years, maybe less. I'd like to see, I'm a big Knight Rider fan, going back to the 80s.
Right.
And I'd like to see a modern-day kit. As a blind person, I think that'd be a great thing to have. A Google car, not so much. I don't know if I would trust something like that in 10, 15 years, not even. I mean, I don't know, it might get better, or I don't know.
You are completely blind?
Yes, sir.
Since birth, or?
Yes, sir.
What? Mm-hmm. Okay. I would think that you'd be in big favor of a car that doesn't need a driver. You know, you can just say, go to grandma's, and
right
away you go. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, a lot of blind people are in favor of that, and there are people, mainly some big wigs within the National Federation of Blind, who've actually tested Google Car most recently. I can't remember. I think it's our current president of the organization. He's actually testing one. But, yeah, I know a lot of people are, and I know in various circles people are talking about this, and I think we'll continue to do so. But I think I'd rather have a modern-day kit.
How about in 30 years there is no more blindness?
Oh, that'd be nice.
I mean, they really are making great strides, right?
Yeah, they are.
If you were given the opportunity, what would have to be done for you to have sight? In other words, I guess I'm really asking, what's wrong that you don't have sight?
Small eyes, small nerves. There's no nerves, then my nerves are dead. So people like that, I don't think that there would be no hope. But some who have are born with light perception, per se, or very little vision, like my wife.
Right.
She has what they call optic nerve atrophy.
Ah.
There might be some hope for her. But, you know, for people like me, I don't know, not so much. Now, I know there's talk in research that there's different implants that you're putting in your brain, but I don't know if I want to go that far.
Can I ask what probably is going to sound like a rude question, but
I'm curious. Open.
Okay, do you dream?
Sure.
So, in your dreams, how do your dreams manifest? I mean, most of us, for example, sighted people, when we dream, we see what's going on in our dream. So
probably the best way I can answer that question is I hear things, and I'm imagining I'm in another place that things are going on.
Uh-huh.
Does that kind of make sense? I mean, you know, that's how I've always dreamed, at least, you know.
Of course it makes sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why I hear things. I know where I can sense where I'm at. I know I'm in a different place.
Wow.
Whether other blind people dream that way, it's possible. I don't know.
Well, I've never asked a blind person that question, first time ever, and so I guess it makes sense. You would hear things.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you ever, I mean, a blind person, of course, has the sense of touch, right? So
right.
You know what things feel like. Does that come to you in dreams?
Yeah, it does, actually, mm-hmm. Along with the hearing.
Okay, well, live and learn. That's amazing to me, and I appreciate the insight.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thank you, and take care. Wow, I guess that would be true, right? You would hear things, and you would feel things, but you, of course, would not see things because you've never had that experience. Wow. Hello there. You're on the air on the phone.
Oh, hi, Art. I was going to just, you know, on your Friday night shows, I really like them because, you know, just to listen to all these different callers, and I was going to sit back and just enjoy it and listen. And when you started talking about your show coming up the day before Halloween.
Yes.
And you were mentioning these different, what you were thinking of calling the show, correct?
Well, actually, yes, that's right. Part of my show will be on the day before Halloween. Some of it will be on Halloween, of course, depending on the time zone.
Right, and you had mentioned this title called Dead Air.
Dead Air.
Dead Air. Now, I just, you know, it just kind of, I thought, oh, I'm going to call in, just see if I can get through, because I like this kind of thing where you kind of sometimes throw out ideas and see if, you know, what other people might come up with. Do you want to hear what I came up with?
I do.
Okay, the first title I thought of was Some Like It Hot.
Hmm. Yes, that's good.
And the second title I thought was Deadly Signals from the Desert.
Deadly Signals from the Desert. Well, that's a little long, but not bad.
Or just Deadly Signals.
Okay, Deadly Signals. That's pretty good, too.
And the third one, I thought of three, and the third one is, that you know how we used to watch the Twilight Zone?
Of course.
Right, so I thought, I was thinking along that vein, the Dead Zone.
The Dead Zone.
But I like Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot. All right, well, I'll keep it in mind, and all of them in mind. But I still am leaning toward Dead Air. Now, I do understand that perhaps a non-broadcasting person would not see or get the significance of that. But, you know, for a broadcaster, even if it's not Halloween, Dead Air puts a chill down your spine. There's no question about it. Just even the phrase, Dead Air, does it for me. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
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 Hi, Art. My name's Phil. I'm calling from Staten Island.
Staten Island, all right.
Yeah, I'm actually a recent, you know, listener of your show. I haven't listened to it for too much. It's kind of hard to get a hold of you because I have a newborn child and everything, so it's practically impossible to listen to you and take care of it at the same time. But I basically just wanted to let you know that your show is amazing. I love it. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. I've been looking for stuff like this for years. I've researched, you know, read books, documentaries, and all sorts, and I can't find a feeding ground as good as what you provide for me on a nightly basis.
Well, we try and go all over the place. I mean, we do science, we do paranormal, we do all kinds of different stuff, and it's true. It's fun.
I also was wondering, because I sent an email to Heather about a week ago, because I was listening, and you said that you make recommendations for people you think should be on the show. Like I said, I'm a new-time listener, so I don't know if you've ever had them on the show. But I was wondering, are you familiar with the Project Phoenix, the Montauk Project?
Yes, of course I am.
Would you? I was thinking maybe you could have either Preston Nichols or maybe Peter Moon on the show.
Well, I've had Preston in the past,
okay.
And I've had a number of people, actually, that had to do with the project. They're all getting on up there, as am I.
Okay.
But, yes, I will look into it.
I literally just gone through all the Peter Moon books.
Right.
I work night times at a nursing home, so I listen to everything audiobook style, basically, as I'm working.
Yes.
And I went through his books, and, I mean, it's really fascinating stuff. I don't know if you've read any of his books personally.
No.
I mean, the insight that he gives, it's from a technological and just, just the average person's standpoint, it's insane, but at the same time, it's just provocative stuff, you know what I mean?
It's not insane. It is provocative, and I lean toward believing it. I got quite a description, folks, of what it was like. And, you know, it depends on who you believe. There are different stories. There are those who say that men were buried halfway into the metal deck of a ship. There are those who deny that. So there are some variances in the way the story, you know, is told. But it's something. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Say hello. You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
You are.
Oh, this is Bernadette.
Bernadette.
From the Facebook fan page, Art Bell Into the Night.
Oh, is that a new one?
He changed the name. We changed the name.
Why do they keep changing?
I don't know.
I really am curious. Isn't this like the second or third name change for the one you're talking about?
I think it's the second.
The second. And, okay, what's it called again?
It was Talking Art Bell.
Right, and now...
Night in the Desert.
And what is it now?
It's Art Bell's Into the Night.
Art Bell's Into the Night.
Boy. Yeah. So now I'm confused.
Okay.
But
well,
that's okay.
What's in a name, right?
I'm so excited to talk to you.
Like Dead Air.
Dead air's okay.
Well, that you don't sound excited. Only I'm okay, huh?
I'm not into radio. It excites you. But I'll be listening to the show regardless what you name it.
Dead air, from a radio perspective, Bernadette, scares me. Yeah, serious scare.
I love the show. You have nothing to worry about, sir. You have no competition. You're just, there's nobody like you, and there nobody will ever be like you. So
that's very kind.
You have nothing to worry about.
Very kind.
I'm so excited I forgot what I wanted to say.
Well, Bernadette, how about talking to me about what you think it's going to be like in 30 years?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to be 76 in 30 years.
Mm-hmm. All right, then, how about if the aliens finally come and they don't know a thing about God?
What would I think? Listen, there are billions and billions and billions of galaxies. Don't you think somebody's out there somewhere? Do you think we're the only ones?
No.
I agree with you. And if they came and said they know nothing about God, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of agnostic. I believe there's something else. But
so it probably wouldn't bother you all that much.
No, not at all.
However, when they pull out,
be sad.
Yeah, when they pull out their ray guns, you'd probably duck anyway.
I don't think they would. I don't think they would.
You really think they would be socially advanced? In other words, along with the great technological advance, about a million years, say, ahead of us, you think they would be socially advanced too?
If they were a million years advanced to us, they would have, I don't know, they would have came here already, don't you think?
I don't know. If they looked carefully and examined our behavior, they might be staying away.
With all our technology, you would think somebody would have a picture of all the stories they tell about aliens. You know, you have iPods, you have cameras. Nobody has no pictures.
Well, they do. But they're fuzzy. And people complain about that they're too fuzzy. And then occasionally you get a really sharp picture. And then, of course, they complain about that because they say it's too clear.
I don't know. But if they ever came to my house, I would definitely take a picture. I would have the two aliens. One would take a picture of me with one alien, and then we'd all get a group picture. And I would send it directly to you, sir, because I would be so excited.
All right. I'm going to look forward to receiving that. I've got to take a break. That's what the music is all about. So thank you for the call.
Welcome.
First time call at that. Very sweet. Dead air. I'm telling you, it's got a ring to it.
Some velvet morning when I'm straight. I'm gonna open up your gate.
Stop. You're blowing it all sky high by telling me a lie without a reason why. You're blowing it all sky high.
Midnight in the Desert spans the world. To call us from outside the U.S. and Canada only, use Skype with a headset mic if on a computer and call MITD55. That's MITD55.
Going in that direction, in other words, outside, here is Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
What am I doing? I'm talking to you. Where are you, Dave?
Actually, I'm in the Al Anbar province in Iraq. Listening to you since I was a young paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division.
For real, Dave?
No, for real. For real. I'm a contractor now, but, I'm still back out here. I did 27 years active duty, and that wasn't enough for me, so I'm back out here as a military contractor.
And you're really in Anbar province?
I am.
Okay.
It's early morning here. About time for me to get in.
About time for you to what?
We're here.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Pardon me?
It's about time for what?
I was just saying it's about time for me to get to work. I'm drinking my morning coffee right now.
I see. Okay. Well, it's great to hear from you. You must have had something on your mind when you called.
Well, you keep me company out here. There's not a whole lot to do in my downtime, so I'm fortunate enough to have some internet out here. It's good to have you out there and keeping me company. This past week, though, to be specific, probably some of the best programming you put out there. I especially like the space elevator episode you had on.
So did I.
I can still remember back in 2000 when you first had who's the Area 51 guy?
Well,
Lazar. Yeah,
Lazar.
It would have been December of 2000 when I heard the show with Bob Lazar.
Yeah, Bob Lazar. People always asking to have Bob Lazar on again, but you know he always tells exactly the same story, which is to his credit, and he doesn't add to it. He doesn't embellish it. It's always exactly the same, and I believe every word of it.
Well, I do, and, you know, oftentimes I hear some of the episodes or some of the shows you had out there, and some of the guys you had on there weren't incredible. In fact, there is one that reminds me, through West Virginia, I was listening to you on the radio, and there's a guy that decided he was going to take a helicopter and go down in the middle of the earth, and it just got out of hell. In fact, you got pretty angry when I think with the producer put that guy on a place. Although I remember that show, and that was pretty funny.
Dave, you are breaking up pretty badly, probably in view of the internet service where you are. So I'm going to have to scoot, but thank you very, very much. You definitely go down as the first Anbar province call. And as you all you know, we have a lot of people over there once again. In fact, earlier today, breaking away from the great mood of Friday night, I heard that Americans are actually back in combat, I'm sorry to say, and that's how it begins, always. That's how it began in Vietnam. Just a few advisors, and look where we went. Okay, let's go to Skype and Phil. Hi, Phil.
Art, how you doing tonight?
Very well, thank you.
I called you a couple of nights ago. I was talking about the EMP in my tractor-trailer possibly ending up as a brick on the road.
I remember that, yes.
With Dr. Forsen, yeah. Art, I have a good name for you for the show. I don't know if anybody's brought this up yet. What about Midnight with the Dead?
That's not bad. That's really not bad. Midnight with the Dead.
Yeah.
All right. Midnight with the Dead. I'm writing that one down. Midnight. Okay.
And 30-year prediction probably happened between now and then that these blasted cell phones will charge through the air.
You know, we're almost there now in a sense. I believe the new Androids can be just laid down on the charger and they absorb it through induction. Seriously.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, are you going to have the Major on pretty soon, Mr. Major Ed Dames?
Oh, when he brings my gold. Laugh not. I'm serious. That was a broken promise a long time ago, and it was a serious promise he made. So until I get my gold, he doesn't get airtime here.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
And I was going to ask you also, are you still a San Diego Chargers fan? Because you know we have a big game this Sunday.
So I'm probably more of a Green Bay fan now. And however, I will say this. I found last Sunday very painful to watch.
Oh, it was.
It was, yeah, it was. I mean, Green Bay and San Diego, it's like I didn't know what to do. I was in favor of Green Bay, but it was hard to watch.
I know. Phillip Rivers broke all those, the records for passing.
He did.
All time for the Chargers. But I think if they could have tied that game and gone into overtime, I think possibly Phillip Rivers may have gotten the all-time record, maybe. He might have thrown between almost probably close to 600 yards, maybe at least 550. I'm not sure what the all-time record is.
Well, it was one hell of a game, no matter how you look at it. Really,
oh, yes.
What a game. Man, oh, man. Thank you very much. It's really hard to know who to root for. San Diego has always been in my heart. But San Diego has broken my heart so many times. God, you know, I can't even begin to tell you the heartbreak that team has brought to me. I was actually in San Diego when they were in the playoffs, and you know what? I don't even want to talk about it. Hello there in Florida. You're on the air, I think.
Hey, Art. How you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple predictions for 30 years, maybe even sooner, and also comment on the show name.
Sure.
In 30 years, I actually think that the movies, will have actors and actresses that have passed on, like famous actors and actresses that they actually put into the films with the use of visual effect technology and maybe motion capture.
I wonder how that would. I wonder how that would go over.
Well, yeah, I mean there would be things to be worked through, but I'll tell you, I see it.
I mean, wouldn't a trailer for a new John Wayne movie be a little creepy?
Well, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'm just saying that I think the film industry is going to be looking into doing things like that. And I think they've already have. They've used Laurence Olivier in a movie about 10 years ago as the main villain in Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. But I don't know if you've seen that. But
I do see where you're going. It's interesting.
But I also think that technology for paranormal investigations will be a lot better. I mean, every year they're coming with better technology for that area.
Mm-hmm.
And the show name that I always thought would be simple, but it would be good, is because your show is Midnight in the Desert. I always thought Ghosts in the Desert would be it's simple, but it would be good. But I like Dead Air as well.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a little pedestrian. Ghosts in the Desert. If I were actually doing a show from a graveyard, then obviously Midnight in the Graveyard would be the clear and easy choice. Getting me into a graveyard, not so much. All right, so zillions of people calling. I'm going to try and go back and forth, maybe Skype to phone, that kind of thing. Hello there, I believe it's Damon. Hello, Damon.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
How's it going, Art?
It's going fine. Get close to your mic, Damon.
Okay, I got a good show guest. I don't know if they can get on.
I don't know.
If you can get Ian Pundit on as a guest.
Ian Pundit is a host.
No, he's not on the other show anymore. So I'd like to know if you can get him on as a guest.
I kind of doubt it. And I'm going to tell you why, Damon. He left the show because he suffers from tinnitus, rather severe tinnitus, I believe. More commonly known as ringing of the ears. And so I doubt that he would do something like that, but you never know. I mean, something like that is, you know, people are always asking me to be a guest on their show, and I never know how to respond. And I also don't know how to be a guest. In fact, generally, when I have buckled and I've agreed to be somebody's guest, I end up interviewing them as much as they do me, because I don't know how to be a guest other than the few things that have occurred to me that are supernatural, perhaps, in my life. I don't know what to say, and so I end up turning it around and interviewing them, which is really weird. Hello there, you're on the air. Our first time caller line. Yes. Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, Art.
All you have to do is talk.
Okay, Art. This is Bob. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Bob.
and it's great. It is absolutely fantastic that you're back on the air. I can't believe it. I called as many friends as I could to let them know.
Well, you know, when we began with the show, Bob, that was the only way that we were able to get listeners through social media and people telling people. It works.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, Art, I can't say how happy I am to actually hear you back on the air again. It's unbelievable.
Thank you.
But as far as your dead air is concerned,
yes,
that's perfect.
Oh, you like
because
it?
There's nothing creepier than at night as you're listening to the radio and then all of a sudden nothing but dead air. Mm. That is very creepy.
It is creepy. So and it's all in the saying of it, too. It's dead air.
That's it. That's perfect. So keep it at that.
All right.
And as far as the aliens and the religion, I would have to say that if they're that technologically advanced, that their arrogance would probably have surpassed any feelings of hope they would have of a god. That's what I would have to say about that.
Wow. Okay.
What would you say about that opinion?
I just heard you snort like an earlier caller.
Oh. No. No, it's my first time.
It's your first time, for sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Definitely, yeah.
All right.
It was hard. It was hard getting on.
All right. It is hard, yes.
I would have to say if they're that technologically advanced, that I would have to say their arrogance would surpass their ability for hope anymore. Hope of a god. That's what I would have to think.
So it'd be like the Trump universe.
And there you go. That's it.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Going back to Skype and Jeff, hello.
Hey, Art, it's Jeff. And first of all, I wanted to say I just love that song Sky High that you play, man. That takes me back to when I was a little kid. It's just awesome.
It just somehow fits. One advantage in doing your own program is you can pick your own music. You don't have to listen to anybody unless they suggest something you absolutely fall in love with. You can just do what you want.
Yep. But on the show title, I didn't know if you're aware of this. I'm a big horror movie fan. There was a movie out like 2008, 10, somewhere around there, called Dead Air. And ironically, it was about a guy that was like a radio DJ stuck in a studio. And there was like, I can't remember if it was like zombies or something, but they were trying to break in. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I want to make sure you knew about that. And I don't ever bring something up like that without an idea. And so I thought of, what could I say? And I said, well, here's one for you. How about Scare Air?
Scare Air, not bad. And and the concept of zombies trying to break into my studio. Hey, I've had it all, so why not?
Here you go. All right, well, love the show, man. It's good talking to you.
Thank you very much, Scare Air. Zombies. I remember driving years ago with my wife to Bob Crane's house. We decided to use GPS as well as directions provided by Bob. And we were in a big RV. And I mean a big RV. And this was the worst road that I have ever driven on in my life. So trying to drive a 39-foot RV through this road would tax the patience of the Lord himself. It got to the point where I was just waiting for, every obstacle you could possibly imagine. I think it was a logging road, right? And I finally turned around and said to her, the next thing I'm waiting for is little babies crawling across the street. You know, the final dodge. Hello there, Washington, I believe you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Art. Good evening.
Right, this is my special line, so I'm assuming you're here to tell me what you believe we're facing or looking at or hoping for in 30 years.
Yes, I am, Art. There are going to be two new world parks.
World parks?
World of Parks. There's going to be Jurassic Park 2050, and there is going to be another World Park. It's going to be the second crater in Arizona, and it'll be called the Art Bell Memorial Meteor Crater.
Yes, well, I kind of envision the Art Bell Memorial Meteor Crater to be here.
Yes, it's going to be what used to be Perump, but when they dig down, when they dig down into the bottom of it, they're going to find a lot of molten slag that they think was a radio transmitter.
Yes, well.
So, hey, look, anyways, welcome to downtown Poulsbo, Washington.
Well, thank you, my friend. And again, if you're listening to an affiliate, by all means, mention its name or its call.
Well, I wish I could do that because that was on the list here to tell you that Seattle radio is really leaves something to be desired as far as entertainment value.
All right. Without giving away big secrets, Seattle radio is about to change.
I am really pleased to hear that because there's nothing on worth listening to right now.
I can't see anything else, but most people will know what I mean, including you. Thank you very much for the call, and take care. Oh, yeah, there's some big things in the works. No question about that. So expect the best in Seattle. That's the way I'll put it. On my first-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Is this our Bell?
I'm the only one here. It's the only possibility. If I answer the phone, it's me.
I'm sorry. This is the third first-time caller. I called you once two, 3 days ago, and I was just listening on the radio and hearing nothing. And then you said somebody's calling, and my goodness, you hung up before I realized that it was me that you were talking to.
Uh-huh. Well, in other words, when somebody says hello, you've got to be relatively fast, especially if you're on a, you know, radio program, think there's nobody on the other end.
I understand that. I was listening to the show, and I thought you were saying hello to somebody else. And I was wondering why they didn't answer.
I see. Well, did you notice when I answered the line, there was a boing?
Yes, I did. I don't remember hearing that the first time.
That's your cue. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I've been listening to you since before you probably were even on the radio, and I'm glad you got back on. I'm not used to hearing you talking alive. I'm always used to hearing recordings.
That's right. I guess that other network is still playing my Saturday night shows, aren't they?
Oh, yes. And I don't think I've ever listened to you live. I've listened to you for years, but don't think I've ever listened to you live until now.
Well, how about that? That is something to behold. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. And why they continue to do that, I have no idea. I would think by now we're beginning to become a worrisome entity for them. So they really should think of it this way. Every time they play one of those shows, they do nothing but serve as an advertisement for The Real McCoy, which is going over here right now. Not that that was not at its time, The Real McCoy, but this is a modern version of it. And so all they do is serve to remind people of that every Saturday night. Good evening on Skype. You're on the air.
Hello, Art. My name is Andrew.
Andrew, hey.
Hey, I'm also, to echo several of the other callers, been listening to you since the mid-90s. Glad that you're back.
Thank you.
I just had a couple of things to tell you. The iPhone Wi-Fi calling will work with AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint, and it just depends on an iPhone 5C or greater and if the carrier supports it.
Right. Are you on Wi-Fi now?
I am on Wi-Fi on Skype, but I'm actually using a Audio Technica microphone that actually plugs in USB or XLR and has live monitoring headphones.
Sounds great.
Awesome. And there was one other thing I wanted to bring up.
So obviously you're a radio tech kind of guy. What do you think of the Halloween show name, Dead Air?
I was going to agree with Michelle and the other callers. I think Dead Air is spot on for that Halloween show.
All right. All right, good. Thank you. Anyway, sure, you had something else. What was it?
Excuse me. I actually completely forgot what it was, but I'll give you a call back. But glad to hear you back. And I've been listening to all the shows since you came back in the end of July.
All right. Let's try an experiment, okay?
Sure thing.
Just relax. Take a really nice, deep, relaxing, cleansing breath and see if you remember what it was.
I guess I just got too nervous and I did completely just lost it.
All right. Well, so much for that experiment. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. Next time, you know, that can happen. I do understand. People, probably my fault for saying something. But you can easily forget why it is you called in the first place. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Sylvia from Laguna Beach, California.
Welcome.
Thank you. I recall in the past, I think back in August or September when you had the GIS on, you had downloaded the Ghost Radar app on your phone.
I've got it, yes.
Have you used it yet?
Not that much. You know, I was kind of disappointed because I thought that the app was going to record voices. And it appears as though it's just sort of like a radar thing to show me the direction of a ghost close by. Am I about right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, yeah. Sir.
I was a little disappointed.
It's too bad it didn't work out for you. I do use it, and my friend Amanda, she uses this as well. We're amateur ghost hunters. So
yes.
When we have time from our schedule, we'll go to the cemeteries and use the ghost radar, and it works. For us, at least, it works.
Seriously?
Seriously. I mean, I'll give you one example. We were in the cemetery. We came up to a grave that belonged to a young girl who had passed away. I would say maybe she was 6 years old. And we just stood there for maybe 15 seconds. And then the ghost radar brought up a word, and it said, move.
Wow.
So telling us, you know, the loss, basically.
Well, you know, now that you've told me that, I may give it a try.
Also, my friend's house is also haunted. When you go to her house, there's a very heavy ceiling. It's very uncomfortable. Doors slam and everything. And I told her about the Ghost Radar app. She didn't know what it was. So I came over with my phone. I turned it on. And for about an hour, nothing happened. But we kept it on anyway. And eventually, it started working. And one after the other, you know, one word after the other, it just connected to a message that made sense. And we wrote it down immediately, and we looked at it, and it was saying, I don't know if it's true or not, but it was saying to us, verbatim, buried bodies under, beneath, house, mass, grave, dig.
Seriously? You hold your hand up. You swear on your iPhone. That's the truth.
I swear on my iPhone. I swear on my father's grave. I swear on the Holy Bible. It is true.
I'm not going to fight that. All right. Thank you very much. Here's my only worry. It is that the Ghost Radar is just an app. Right? I get that. Just an app. And a Ouija board... Ouija board is just a Ouija board. It's not the board. It's not the app. It's the intent. In other words, if you set out to locate a spirit, something from the other side, if you will, it's not the material thing that you use in that quest, but your own intent that I think is dangerous. And so I would warn you, be careful. And that's, I think, why I have not used my ghost app yet. I really do have it here. But I actually, other than the first night I got it, I opened it up and I looked at it. Ghost Radar Connect, it's called. But it worries me like Ouija. It's all about intent, folks. Let's go to Scott. Hello, Scott on Skype.
Hey, Art, this is Scott in San Diego.
Oh, yes. You know we're coming to San Diego in December on KFMB.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
your success is very fun for me, personally. Anyway, I've got a question for you. You know, about talking about aliens with the David Jacobs shows and stuff, what doesn't make sense to me is why aliens who must have the technology, you know, of mastering genetics and biology, why do they need millions of us around for making hybrids? Couldn't they just manufacture whatever they'd want? Has anyone addressed this that you know of?
No, I think that it's an elegant way to take over a planet. I mean, we don't know what they really want. We may have something, you know, ourselves, in ourselves, that they want, right?
Well, I suppose. I mean, it's just beyond me. I don't get the biology aspect of it.
Well, I don't either. That's the whole point. We don't quite get it. It may be that human beings possess something that they want, or they want to be able to control or be part of. How about, for example, our immortal souls?
Well, that could be. I mean, you can't rule anything out. There's so much we don't know.
That's right. Do you feel your immortal soul is safe?
I haven't really pondered the thought.
That was a long pause before you answered. That worries me.
Well, that question worries me a little bit.
I understand. And I also thank you for the call, but I've got to go to a break
here,
okay?
Sure. All right, take care.
All right, take care, brother. Friday nights, anything goes. I'm Art Bell, and this is Midnight in the Desert. No dead air tonight.
Strikes 12, and Midnight in the Desert is pounding packets your way on the Dark Matter Digital Network. To call the show, please direct your finger digits to dial 1-952-225-5278. That's 1-952-CALL-ART.
I love it. The conspiracy crews probably headed down through the Bermuda Triangle. Oh, yeah. Sign me up. Okay, back to open lines. I love Fridays. I really, really love Fridays, and that does remind me that if we're going to do dead air, we're going to need stories. So I would like to invite you to send us your ghost story, the very best ghost story you might have, and I'm going to give you an email address, so be running now for a pencil or pen, please. And what I would like you to do is to summarize, please, shortly, don't write me a book, just a very short summary of your ghost story. And if you would not mind, include with it a phone number where I can reach you at airtime. And if I favor your ghost story, I may well call you. Right? And then on the air you will go with your ghost story, and in that way we'll try and sort of sift through the chaff for the wheat. Anyway, you get the idea. So my email address, if you're ready, is artbell@knye.com. That's artbell, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, at K-N-Y-E, kilowatt, Norway, Yokohama, easy, K-N-Y-E.com. Summarize it. Put your phone number in there, and who knows, we may call you. Let us go to Justin and say good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Art. How are you?
I'm quite well, Justin. Thank you. Where are you?
I'm calling from Michigan. I'm on Skype, and I've extinguished my device.
But not your dog.
Well, there's three of them, and that's kind of hard. I think they. I walked outside to make sure.
It's quite all right. You proceed.
We have a zoo here. But I also have a mystery, and I was hoping maybe you could help me solve it.
I'm your guy.
So I've been waking up the last 2 days in a row, and it's really interesting. I noticed
this upsets you? I mean, consider the alternative.
Yeah, thank God. I've been waking up the last 2 days in a row, and I've found what appears to be some sort of markings in black ink on my left hand.
Oh, my.
The first morning, I thought, well, that's odd. What could that be? And I was kind of surprised by it. I thought maybe, I don't know, maybe I had written something. Well, it's my left hand, and I use my right hand to write. The other thing that when I've asked people and showed this to them, they said, well, maybe it is something to do with writing. I don't use black ink. I use blue ink when I write things.
Okay, so does it say anything?
Oh, I've taken pictures, and it does appear to be writing. And this is the thing that I can't quite understand what exactly it says, because it kind of smudged, and it is small. But the first night, it was just on one spot near my palm. The second morning I woke up, there was another spot on my ring finger on my hand along with it. So that was the last 2 days, and I'm... I'm curious to see what happens tomorrow when I wake up.
Okay. Well, I have a very ominous thought.
Your shows the last few nights about the abductions and the strange things happening. I don't believe that's necessarily happening to me. I think there's probably a better answer for it, but it is a mystery.
But you've not yet been able to figure out anything that actually has been said.
No, when I showed it to people, they said that it looks like numbers. One person said that it looked like I think it was 1600, and then the letters were IKE.
1600 Ike.
No idea what that means. Almost looked like a date with the 1600.
Maybe you missed a little bit and said, I like Ike. I don't know.
I am confused. I don't know. I will, I'll keep you posted if I see anything. As far as the show for, Halloween, I'm loving Dead Air. I think that's the spot. And I gotta tell you, Art, for, as far as mysteries go, I've got a suggestion for a show topic.
Yes, sir.
California in Los Angeles on Skid Row. That is the subject of the American Horror Story, which is the show that's on television the last few seasons. This season is all about, based on this particular hotel and the crazy things that have happened there. The most recent, I think, craziest is this young woman who was a student who was found. There's video of her getting on an elevator, getting off, but the mystery of how her body was found inside a water tank on the top of the hotel has never been solved.
Well, that's no mystery. That's a true story.
It's a true story.
I know, and they found her after quite a period of time had passed, and that was the water supply, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people gave that some thought.
That was probably the scariest part of that story.
Thank you very much. Well, I don't know about the scariest part. That is a legitimately really scary story. I talked about it during my last radio incarnation. And, boy, that's freaky. Absolutely freaky stuff. I quite agree. One of the scarier stories in a long, long time. People didn't believe it. And so, of course, they did what people do, and they went to Google and researched it and came back with a different expression on their face entirely. Believe me, Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Well, sir, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to call to let you know I have some information that is based off of my grandfather that I was raised from, which was a Marine. Okay. And was in the war in World War One. Okay. He sat there and he used to laugh when certain TV shows used to come on and talk about UFOs flying around, and said that it was a basis and a byproduct of a gentleman that I do not have any idea of who he is, but his name was Victor Schomburger, I believe, that was trying to create some kind of propulsion that made the suction of the UFO craft lighter above it than the bottom of it. And I mean, he has since passed away, and he talked to me because I was raised by him. He gave me a lot of information, basically letting me know that a lot of the things that we believe that are UFOs are actually a byproduct of certain situations that we were given the gift to know by certain alien civilizations that came from another planet, but they didn't really come down here and try to abduct us and do different things like that.
Well, I wanted to see where your story was going, and I don't. I get the first part about the essential vacuum or whatever that would sort of pull the UFO along, or that I've heard that kind of drive referred to before. The rest of it sort of wandered away into la-la land. You brought up so many things. Sometimes you need to just be quiet, listen to somebody like that, and see if they're actually headed to a destination or just blasting off into space. Hello there on Skype. You're on the air.
Hi there. How's it going tonight?
It's going swimmingly, thank you.
Swimmingly, that's good. I was curious to know, do you personally believe in angels and demons?
Huh, interesting question. I'm not ready with an answer. I don't know. I think... angels, I haven't seen an angel, nor have I seen a demon. And I'm a kind of a hands-on guy. I've got to see to believe.
Yeah. So you only believe in the physical, then, than what you can see with your own two eyes?
Well, in terms of absolute belief, yes. Do I believe in the possibility of angels and demons? Yes.
Okay. I just my thoughts on one of your earlier comments about the UFOs and if they were to land with a King James Bible or not. In my opinion, I think that the UFOs would probably have a lot of respect for anybody who did follow the King James Bible or who had a belief in it.
Why?
Especially if they were a society, like you said, that was advanced. And
why?
And because they would respect anybody who would choose to live that way on this planet.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that comment. I mean, if you actually live...
not just anybody, but I'd say the majority of Christians that try to live by the King James Bible.
Yes, well, if you actually live the words, then yes, I can see how they might respect that. And or they might not at all, and they might squash us like bugs, no matter what we believe. That's why, you know, actually it's a very serious question with some very serious answers that we've had tonight, and that is, if they came here and essentially didn't know about God, didn't even know about religion, how would that hit people? And those who have ventured forth to answer that this evening have uniformly pretty much said it would destroy their religious faith. That's a pretty serious answer to a serious question. And I guess I'm going to say hello to, wait a moment here. I've fouled up Skype somehow. Sorry about that. Or maybe not. I believe we've got a ham operator on here. Hello.
Good evening from the grand studios, the international studios of WTWW. How you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, you are the big broadcast station, shortwave broadcast station, that sends our show forth to, well, how far do you go?
We go all over the planet. This is, it's an amazing facility out here, and, you know, I just wanted to...
You're breaking up?
...and say, I was listening to dead air.
No, buffered air, actually. You're breaking up a little bit, but again, it's really good to have you on the air. And how much power does your station run?
We are out of Lebanon, Tennessee.
Say that again, please.
Outside of Lebanon, Tennessee.
No, no, not where. How much power do you run?
Oh, 100,000 watts is what we run out of our transmitter.
100,000 watts. And you... All right, and you carry our show 5 nights a week, right?
Sure, 5 nights a week. I am in here in the studio running your show, making sure everything's running good.
Okay, do you get cards from people in different parts of the world that hear it?
We get both mail through the regular snail mail, email, phone calls.
Wow.
Wait.
That is so cool. And, of course, I never get to hear it because I'm here doing it. And trust me, I would have my FTDX 9000 Delta tuned into your frequency, and I'd be listening to it if I could.
Well, you know, we definitely do appreciate running the show. I have been a very long-time listener from the early 90s. I've always been, you know, it's really wild because I'd listen to the board op, and I'd hear him mess up, and I would always say, man, if I was doing that show, I would do it perfect every night.
Have you?
And I do the best that I can in here for you.
All right, brother. Thank you, and thank you for the call.
All right, sir. 73.
Oh, wait. One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
What frequency should people listen to?
We are on 5085.
5085. Thank you, brother, and take care. That is our shortwave affiliate, and they really do go and go and go and go. So you might give it a try. If you've got a shortwave radio around... 5085, 5.085 is where we are. And, yeah, you can pretty much hear it anywhere. If you don't hear it well, then a little piece of wire or a 50-foot piece of wire attached to a tree will do wonders. But even shortwave radios with just a little extension antenna do quite well. Let's go to the phones and Tampa, Florida. Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I'm on your 30 years in the future line, right?
You're on your 30 years in the future. Yes, you're on the right line, that's for sure. So what do you think life will be like, technology will be like, whatever you want to name will be like in 30 years?
Well, I think a lot of it will probably be irrelevant because I think I kind of believe in this whole global warming or climate change thing. So I think, like, a lot of the coastal cities will probably be underwater, and a lot of the food will probably not be able to survive, so we're going to have to deal with that. So I think probably technology might be at a standstill while we kind of...
starve to death.
...deal with food.
Possibly.
I mean, we might be able to survive.
That's a pretty ominous future you're painting there, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it won't all happen within 30, but I've heard estimates of 50.
50 years. And we'll just dream of the days when you could pop the top on a can of whatever it is you love and enjoy it.
No more lemons, limes, no more Sprite, though.
No more Sprint. World can't go
Sprite.
On without that. I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, I'd hope I am, too. That'd be pretty good if I was wrong.
So you think it's almost inevitable?
I don't know. I think I could be wrong. It could change.
It's either that or a repeat of the Donner Party, huh?
Everybody eating each other?
No.
Oh God, I hope it doesn't get to that. I don't even eat meat. I don't think that would work out for me. Maybe a sitting duck.
Yes, indeed. All right, sir. Thank you for the cheery call. I appreciate it. Something just went through my brain, and fortunately, the radio part of my brain stopped it before it came out. Hi there. You are on the air on Skype.
Hey, Art. How's it going?
It's going all right.
That's good. I was thinking, you know, you were talking the other day about the, you know, the megastructure that they're saying that they found so far, and how we probably wouldn't want to communicate and couldn't with them because they're so far away right now. But my thought is what if they're the ones that are already here?
Mm-hmm. What if they are?
And so, you know, I've just wondered about that, and it'd be kind of interesting to see how this plays out if it is, in fact, a structure.
It sure will. All right, sir. You know what? It's unbelievable to me, but the show is ending. I thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. I don't know what happens to 3 hours. When we do open, when I have a guest, it seems longer. When we do open lines, it's like it's over before it begins. I don't know what to say. All right. Well. Everybody in all 25 time zones, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I hope I do too. A nice, quiet, drama-free weekend is what I'm looking forward to, from the high desert to the world.